We're going to start off a little bit different. I'm not a great joke teller, so I thought I'd bring a friend with me here. So we're going to play something. Are we possibly? It was working, and then it wasn't.
Let's try it.
We're going to try it. If not, I might have to.
Parents didn't know what to do with me. They got me in a little league baseball.
Ryan Regan.
I played out in right field. Because I stunk. But you don't know. You just show up, you know. Oh, I got my glove. You any good? I don't know. My mom told me to come out here. We'll get out in right field. Okay. Turn around, you moron. Oh, okay. Got the whole way. Oh, only some way. I never knew what was going on out in right field. All I knew is at the end of the game, I'd get a free snow cone. That's all I knew. Yeah. Yeah, out there, oh, free snow cone. Free snow cone. Brian, what's the score? Free snow cone. Free snow cone at the end of the game. If you play, they're going to give you a free snow cone. Even if you play half game, you get the whole, you don't get a half snow cone. You get a whole snow cone for half the game.
So, that's Brian Regan.
Hey, preacher, preacher!
Hey, preacher, preacher! A little chatter. Here we go, here we go. It feels like that to me so much. Like, his Little League experience describes pretty much all aspects of my life. right? Just, I have no idea what's going on. I know that, you know, if I'm out there, somebody's going to maybe give me a grape or a cherry snow cone. But the rest of it, I just feel lost and out of place, and I don't always understand what the point is. How many of you guys feel that in life a lot of times? I love Brian Regan, how he just kind of like gets you into that. Like, yeah, we, okay, you know, maybe that's what we should do when we go to court, you know, just to, because I don't know what else to do. Or it's, I feel like a fish out of water most of the time. And I think that I think it throws me for a loop, because I think I'm supposed to know what's going on. I'm supposed to have an idea on how it's supposed to work. And I find more and more and more and more that I don't. Today's chapter, today's verse is what? Does anybody know? Yes, Luke 4. We heard it. What? This morning? Isaiah 61, but we're doing Luke's version. Yes. So if you have a Bible, you can flip over there. If you remember, this is where Jesus, who seems always to know what he's doing, comes out of the desert after fighting with Satan and dealing with all of the garbage that Satan could throw at him. This was temptation to Jesus. We read it, we might think, oh, yeah, not that big of a deal. But it apparently would be something he had to work through. He had to struggle with. He had to combat and interact with. And I don't know how much he would feel encouraged to do this. Like, oh, this is going to be great, right? Like, he's going to go in and, you know, they're going to do root canal on you. Oh, that'll be great. It's just, I don't think we understand how much Jesus might not have been looking forward to some of the things that he encountered. We know that in Mark when he gets to the Gethsemane, but here I've always thought of this as this jubilant, amazing passage. You know, when he goes into the temple and he opens the scroll and he reads this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I've always thought of that as very jubilant and upbeat. But coming off of the temptation and coming off of that, I don't know, like there's a soberness to that that has hit me more than I've ever. Like, what are we preaching here? You stand up and you're going to tell someone who's lost everything that, oh, it's okay. The Lord loves you. It just feels empty. It feels foolish. And it got me thinking. We're going to focus in on verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. What's the opposite of poor? Rich? I want to suggest to you that the opposite of poor is hope. The opposite of poor is hope. If you want to flip over with me to Psalm 88. If you know that psalm, I'm sorry. If you don't, you're going to find out. The psalmist says, O Lord, God of my salvation, when at night I cry out in your presence, let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol, or the grave. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like those who have no help. like those forsaken among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions of dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a thing of horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call on you, O Lord. I spread out my hand to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the shades rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or are your saving help in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry out to you. In the morning, my prayer comes to you. O Lord, why do you cast me off? Why do you hide your face from me? Wretched and close to death from my youth, I suffer your terrors. I am desperate. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dread assaults and destroys me. They surround me like a flood all day long. From all sides, they close in on me. You have caused friend and neighbor to shun me. My companions are in darkness. The end. A lot of the Psalms, they'll have the discovery or the finding of the Lord in the middle of them. But not that one. When this guy prays, he feels like his prayers bounce off the ceiling. He feels dead. He feels hopeless. I suggest to you that he feels poor. Deeply. He might even be actually poor. Physically. Here's the thing. If you identify with that in any way, if your hope is fragile, you're at the right place. I have good news. I think of the Brian Regan thing, and if you feel like all thumbs and you're just struggling to get it right, even just coming to church this morning, you know, I am known for spilling things. Always. And forever. And I'm gathering the stuff, and I've kind of got the thing, and I'm on my way out the door, and my coffee cup, which I think is empty as I go down to pick something up, was a good two or three gulps still in, and all over the floor. And it's like, really? I'm on my way to church. I get here. Who do I call? Daniel. Why? Because I forgot my notes back at the house. All thumbs, no matter what I do. But I'm going to just suggest, if you can't get out of your own way, if you feel hammered by voices inside your head and outside, if it seems like you have a critic at every corner, if you are confused and bewildered on how to make this thing work, if joy seems evasive, if you feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceilings, like I said, if you find that you are constantly walking into hopeless situations, trying to bring consolation or hope or something to this thing, and just feel woefully underachieved, underprepared. If you feel like you're breathing, you're beating your head against the wall, you're in good company. You're among the poor. passage in Luke. We all know, or maybe we don't, if you remember, he writes very distinctly to the poor. I remember one time years ago, I don't know, maybe some of you remember, where I stood up. This is one of the first times I preached, and I preached this passage. And I shouted very proudly and loudly that I'm anointed and I get to preach. And it has not been a straight line. I know I'm not the only one that feels these things. We all feel them. You try, you do everything right. The Proverbs are there. Some of you guys follow those really well. You've got your ducks in order, no matter what. And then all of a sudden, I feel like you can put stuff together and it kind of works really, really well, but it takes so little for it to all just come undone and just spin out of control. Like you're picking up cards, right? You know, you pick them up and you get them all organized, and just one little thing, and psh, and then you got to start all over, it feels like, right? If you want to turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, I guess we'll just start in verse 1. In the year of King Uzziah, thank you. See, here we go. The year of King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled with the temple. Seraphims are in attendance above him. Each had six wings. Two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to the other. He said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of all those called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me. I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people with unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Just imagine, we get a chance. We're going to have a day where we're going to be, no kidding, veil down, where we get to be in God's presence. But every now and again, we get those little glimpses, don't we? And you're just like, oh, it's amazing. Verse 6, then the seraphim flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. And the seraphim touched my mouth with it. And he said, "Now this has touched your lips. Your guilt is departed, your sin blotted out." Sit with that for a second. You kneeled somewhere, someday, back when, and you said, "Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins." Somehow, I don't know how you articulated it or how I brought it. You might have even done it this morning for whatever you brought, you know, sinned recently. And it's blotted out. It's no more. You don't have to carry it around. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, so this passage right there is the ultimate one for going on a mission, isn't it? Like, I'm going to step into my calling. I'm going to step in and I'm going to do something awesome for the Lord. Take me, send me. And God says this. Go say to the people, keep listening, but don't comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull and stop their ears, shut their eyes so that they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and comprehend with their minds. So they are basically so that they turn to be healed. Then I said, how long, Lord? And he said, until the cities lie waste without an inhabitant, and the houses without people, and the land is utterly desolate. Until the Lord sends everyone far away, and vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land. Even if a tenth part remain in it, it will be burned again. Like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains standing when it is felled. The holy seed is a stump. It's like he's like, send me. And then he's like, okay, go say this. They're not going to listen to you. In fact, you're going to tell them they're not going to understand. They're not going to get it. No matter how hard you try to articulate or try to say it or try to console or bring some sort of help to the person or people or wherever you're going, it's going to go flat. It's going to be thud, right? Paul had this. Go over to Acts. I think it's 28. Yeah, 28. Verse 26, Acts chapter 28. Paul's in Rome. He's gotten a chance to preach in Rome. Of course, he's been arrested. He wouldn't have probably gotten to had to go to Rome had he not appealed to Caesar. So he kind of forced their hand, forced the situation to get where he thought the Lord wanted him to be. And then he goes ahead and he accesses this same passage. This is the very last part of Acts. After all that he has done, after all of his ministry, after everything, he says this. He quotes it straight out. I don't know where to start exactly, but the passage is the one I just read. The Holy Spirit was right in saying that your ancestors, through the prophet Isaiah, said, go to this people and say that they indeed will never listen nor understand. And you will indeed look, but never proceed. For these people's hearts will grow dull, and their ears are hard of hearing. And they have shut their eyes so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, because guess what? They will listen. It's interesting. Paul takes the gospel and he wants to take it to the people, his people, and tell them all of the good things that God has done. He wants them to get it and understand. And if they obviously didn't get it and they threw rocks at him and they, you know, well documented. We've gone over this, over this, over this. And so he says, fine, I go to the Gentiles because they will listen. The entire earth begins to hear the message of the gospel. People who thought they would never have a chance in life get a glimpse of it. They get to hear it. He gets to be that ambassador. I'm here to tell you guys that this church is anointed, and we get to preach good news to the poor. We get to preach good news to people that don't know it. But it's not cheery. It's sober, because so many people won't listen, won't get it. You won't get it right. You'll mess it up. You'll be an example. I remember I'm sitting. Do anybody remember Chris Lynn? Long, long time ago, right? Well, I don't know exactly how this happened, but I'm sitting in. I'm at the barracks. I'm in the Marine Corps, right? I'm in the barracks. I'm sitting on top of the dryer waiting for, because if you leave your clothes, somebody else will borrow them, acquire them. In the Marine Corps, they acquire things. They don't steal. They acquire. But in any case, I'm sitting there, and I don't know what I was doing. He just comes in out of nowhere and just pins me. He's like, I need to know what you know about God. Like, just randomly. He's Christian. I don't know what he knows about me. I don't know how he comes up to me. I don't know what I even said in that moment. At some point, something must have been said because he ends up here, right? And he meets Tasha and all this stuff. And, you know, they've been married. He's had kind of an amazing life, I think. I don't know. I haven't kept in close contact with him, but, you know, you just kind of check in here and there. But I just know that my example was not that great. I feel ashamed so often about what he saw me do. But yet somehow the Lord called him and set him straight and got him going. And I can't reconcile that. I can't reconcile my life. There's a really neat thing. I've shared this with some of you guys. I got to be on the phone with a friend who led my mom to Christ when I was 3 years old. He baptized me when I was 5. And I've talked to him on a fairly regular basis now and get to share and just connect with him and listen and be a part of his life. I don't know how that happened. It makes no sense to me. But there's these little tiny moments where we get these glimpses and then we screw them up or we spill the coffee or we flutter or, you know, whatever. And it's like, I don't know how to reconcile that for you guys. I just know that somehow, if you don't quit, God will somehow do something with that, and he will move it forward. But the one thing I know is that we're to identify with those who are poor. And when I mean poor, I mean hopeless. Now, they may not have money, so yes, them too, right? Like, it's not, there's no, I'm not saying this, not that. But I'm saying hopelessness is powerful. And if you go in to try and undo people's hopelessness, you're going to have all hell break loose against you. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I wrote down a couple of the scriptures just to remind us of Luke, right? Luke, he said early on with Mary, in her great song, she says that you brought down the powerful and lifted up the lowly. Later he goes on, and this is the one that I want to land for this moment. If you feel hopeless, if you feel impoverished, and I hope you do at least somewhat, you are blessed, according to the scriptures. He says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom. If you're hearing me, if you're thinking and you're working through this, or maybe you're just not getting it, right? Good news is you're poor. If the Lord tarries, wants to not give you hope right away, that's okay, because the kingdom is yours, according to scripture. There's so many passages in Luke about the poor. He talks about the poor have the good news brought to them. He tells us one story where he invites everybody to come, right? All of the friends and the people that should be coming, and they all had excuses. The rich always have excuses, don't they? The complacent, the people that, yeah, I don't need that. They always have excuses. So he says, okay, fine, they don't come. Go invite others. And so they went out to the highways and byways and had them come in. Right? And there was still room. And so they said, go out and get more. And they kept bringing them in and bringing them in. That the idea is if you don't want to hear the gospel, God will bring in somebody that will. If you're just sitting there, I don't care. Come into worship. What's the word Terry used? Hem. H-E-M, right? Like we're talking about. Meh. But I came across this one, and it reminded me of something that someone said recently. Do you come in poor? Do you come in hungry? You could go if you want. Chapter 16 is where we're going. Chapter 16, verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, who feasted scrupulously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with whatever fell from the man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. And I was thinking about this. You guys remember that the Syrophoenician woman? I don't think I said that right. But the say it again. Syrophoenician woman. So she comes. Jesus comes, right? And she comes in, and her daughter's sick, and she comes in and wants Jesus to heal him, but there's kind of some issues there. She's a Samaritan. She's unclean. You know, she has put him in an awkward spot. And so he kind of fires back. He's like, well, you know, I'm not here for the dogs, right? Let's think about that. Jesus just called this female a dog, right? Like, go away from me. And I'll let you fill in that one, right? But the point is she doesn't go away. She flips it around, and she identifies and says, even the dogs get the crumbs off the table. And I was talking to somebody recently, and it was actually after Adam had preached or done something or whatever, and they were talking about how refreshing it was. Finally, I get to use my brain, you know, or something like that. And I'm standing here, the one who is preaching a lot, just feeling like, I'm not sure how to take that, right? But I got to thinking about it, and when I read this, so then the next sentence was, but I've gotten used to listening to sermons that maybe aren't that great, because I'll listen for something that the Lord might have to say in the middle of it. And I just picture the faithfulness of someone to be able to go in and go, you know what, I'm going to listen closely because I can at least maybe find a crumb that falls off the table. That's the heart and position of somebody who is identifying with being poor. I just need a word. I need you just to speak, Lord. I just need to be a part of the... I don't know what's going to happen. I may walk away just terribly unimpressed, but I want just a crumb, God. How often do we show up begging for a crumb from the Lord? Or do we just walk away full? Nah, that's not for me. Well, he goes on in this. This guy dies, right? And the poor man died, and he was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. Remember, the poor, what are they? They get to have the kingdom of heaven. So this poor guy gets to have the kingdom of heaven. And the rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was being tormented. And he looked up, and he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But he is now comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from here to there. He said, Then, Father, I beg you, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he might warn them, so that they would not come into the palace of torment. Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them. Find the crumbs. find the crumbs. That's the charge in this passage from me to you. Find the crumbs that the Lord has for you. They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them. He said, no, Father Abraham. But if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to them, if they won't listen to Moses or the prophets, neither will they be even convinced, even from the if someone rises from the dead. If you have ears to hear, you should hear. Don't be the deaf. Don't be the one who's content and apathetic and turn a blind eye. Be the one who's hungry and poor and desolate. If your heart is wrung out, if your heart is wrung out, you are in a good place. We don't have much to tell people. Like it comes out empty. It comes out unorganized a lot of times. I know I'm talking about me, but I know you guys have your own version of this, right? But we get to tell people that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And we have to somehow trust that even though we don't experience it, that that will do something for them if they're hungry enough, if they're desperate enough. Back to Luke 4. To me, this is a really cool little twist on the passage. Again, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he rolled up the scroll. He gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Not tomorrow, not somewhere. It's not out in the future. It's now. The Lord is here and wants you to partake of him, to be a part of him. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Is that cool? I love that whole Brian Regan bit, right? Like, half a game, whole game. I get the snow cone. Whole snow cone. Like, we get the goodies. It's hard to remember that when you're in the middle of it. There's no question about it. And there's nothing that I feel like I can offer except for I know that the Lord sees you and knows you and hears you and all of that. I know it. I remind you of that. And I invite you, we're going to sing for another song. I want to repeat, actually, if we can. And I just want you to just be hungry for him. Be poor. Let him give you whatever he has to give you. And let's pray for each other, and let's see what the Lord does today. And I pray for any of us here, anybody that needs to know that you are alive, we're not just shuffling our feet. We're declaring the presence of a living God in a place that seems to have no hope. We are establishing your presence and your reign, and we are declaring it. We declare it again today. Thank you for being good. Thank you that you found us. Thank you that you did preach to us, and we did answer. And we answer again. Over and over again, we will answer you. Please don't give up. Please don't stop preaching to us. Open our eyes like you did with Elijah. I pray that we see those chariots of fire. Will you give that today to anybody that would need it? I ask this in your holy name. Thank you for coming to our church today.